Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Another edition of Mindshift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery. As always, excited to be here, joined by my phenomenal co-host, the Mindshift crew, the motivational minister, Mr. Billy Miller, and Dr. Ayal Kedar, the natural Zen diva. It is Monday night already, March 14th, and I said before, excited to be here, excited for another hot topic, excited about another great guest panel. That's all I can say. Dynamic group of speakers that will be joining us tonight. And for those of you, again, that missed the show last week, we encourage you to go back to mindshifttalkradio.com, listen to the replays. It was so off the chain last week. We had two extraordinary women join us last week. We had Miss Angela Mitchell, business strategist and coach, join us, as well as LaShawn McCreary. She's known as the motivational messenger, and she had Billy fired up. You know, Billy's our motivational minister, and she's the motivational messenger, and she totally stood up to the title. I tell you, it was a great show last week. So we encourage you to go back, listen to the replay, share the replay with friends and family members. I'm sure everyone will be able to benefit from something out of that show last week. And again, this week is going to be another hot topic. For those of you that may have seen the profiles and the information we've been sharing on Facebook, we've been pretty fired up about this all week because of the two dynamic speakers we have, but also just because of the topic. It's definitely a topic that needs to be discussed. Tonight's show is overcoming the victim mentality, okay? And I'm sure everyone can relate to that in some shape, form, or fashion. And so this is going to be a very deep discussion. As always, we encourage you, when you're listening to Mindshift Talk Radio, again, this is a healthy show with healthy conversation about real issues and real topics affecting real people. So again, when you listen to the show, you want to come with an open mind because you're going to hear different perspectives, but at the end of the day, you will walk away seeing things in a totally different light, and that's what it's about. It's about empowering you. It's about helping you to renew and transform your mind and be blessed by the end of the show. So again, excited for this show tonight, excited for our two guest speakers. I'm sure they're going to knock it out the park. So I'm going to pass it over to Billy and Ayal because, guys, like I said, this topic I think is one that's very necessary. It's one that can be a little touchy. It can be a little sensitive for some people, but I think it's something that's very important for us to discuss. What do you guys think about the topic tonight?
Woohoo!
Always says that, woohoo!
I think I'm super excited. I know it's going to be a great show. I think, especially in today's world, the victim mentality, I think a lot of people can feel like a victim. So I'm excited to hear what our speakers are going to bring tonight, that they're going to hear their stories. So I know it's going to be phenomenal.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And I'm excited about the show, and I think the show is important because having a victim mentality, you know, being a victim costs, and nobody can afford it. You know, it costs you your time, it costs you your energy, you know, it can cost you your life, you know. And a lot of people don't realize that they have a victim mentality. And I want to ask the listeners this question right here. Do people know your complaints by heart? You know, have you complained so much that they can recite, you know, your verbal language of helplessness? And so some people have a victim mentality and don't realize it. And so I'm excited, and I'm excited about our first speaker. Our first speaker is Lee Trevathan, and we have her on the show. She is a top mentor to entertainment artists worldwide. She specializes in a mental reorganization method called extraordinary living. She often says, ordinary thinking does not work. She has a long career in the film and music industry. She is currently the owner of Lee Trevathan on Air Radio Global Network. She's also the owner of Extraordinary Living LTD and LTD Media. She's the author of the popular Rebel Writer book series. Her passion is teaching people to be positive rebels, bypassing the common victim mentality of our current social standing. So we're just excited to have Lee on the show. Lee, are you there?
I am here, and that was just beautiful. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and then share what you have to share with us today.
Well, you know, I want to make a comment about what you said about people knowing your complaints and being able to recite them. I think, actually, Billy, I'm sure we could probably discuss this for several hours, but I think, you know, when you hear on the news about how stress is the number one killer in the world, not just in the U.S., all across the globe, stress is the number one killer. Where does most of stress come from? It comes from believing yourself to be a victim. Any time that you're stressed out, the root of it is almost always going to end up being that somehow, some way, you do believe you're a victim. You do believe it. You honestly believe it to the degree that you're in a deep state of fear, and that creates the most stress. And as you said, it you know, it can actually kill you. It steals your life. It just completely steals your life. So I just want to thank you for, you know, putting that out there, because I think it's very, very important. I think that, you know, ordinary thinking does not work. I can tell you that being a recovering ordinary thinker, just like there's recovering alcoholics, you know, I had to recover from ordinary thinking. And it took, you know, going into the depths and into the pits, I guess you could say, of it, you know, of ordinary thinking, to realize that it didn't work. Because, I mean, for the last 30 plus years, I've been teaching how to be a victor and not a victim. But believe me, I was the ultimate victim. And I think, you know, you can only go so low before you have to kind of like knock on wood and say, now, wait a minute. The same things keep happening to me. I've got to be doing something wrong. You know, and then you find out what it is that you've been doing wrong, and you realize it's not everybody else's fault. You know, you're the one doing whatever it is that's sabotaging you. You're doing that to yourself. So I guess I just want to put it out to your listeners tonight, you know, just to have everybody think about it. Just, you know, don't be hard on yourself. Don't be mean to yourself at all. But, you know, just think about what Billy said. Like, how many times a day do you complain about things? How many times a day do you have negative thoughts that can't serve you? You know, they can't do you any good at all. Any good at all. And I just want to say for everybody, you know, one of the most terrible things you can ever say about yourself is poor me. Because you're just putting such a weight on your own body, on your own mind, on your own heart, on your own soul. And it's tricky to, you know, come back from that. And we forget that when we talk about other people, and of course, you know, tonight we can use what's happening in Japan, you know, as horrific as that can seem. The worst thing in the world that we can possibly do is say those poor people. Because really all we're doing is sending them that poorness instead of sending them love, sending them support, sending them energy, sending them light, sending them our passion, our faith. We're sending them negative thoughts and negative energy, which, you know, it doesn't help them at all. So that's something on a big scale. But, you know, on a small scale, it's the same thing.
Now, one thing I noticed, Lee, when reading your bio, you have such a strong bio. I mean, just reading it, I was just like, wow, like I was intrigued by everything that you're doing. But what intrigued me the most was the last sentence. It stood out to me the most because it said your passion is teaching people to be positive rebels. And I love that because you talked about how we have to bypass the common victim mentality of our current social standards. And so you talked about teaching people how to be positive rebels. What does that mean? How do you go about doing that?
Well, I always ask people, you know, are you mad enough yet? Are you done with it yet? Have you had enough ordinary thinking? Are you willing to rebel? Because that's what's going to get your head straight. Is, you know, you can live with ordinary thinking only so far. When you realize that, yeah, it's true, it doesn't work, you know, that's when you really do have to kind of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And that really is what I hope people will take away from this entire conversation. I hope they will stop and think and ask themselves, are they really a victim? And that's the first question I ask everyone, like, prove it to me. Tell me what it is about you that makes you a victim. And people will always say, well, this happened to me, that happened to me, you know, and they'll give me their sob stories. But, you know, think about that, Stacey, really. You're here. We're all here. We all exist. By the very nature of our being, we're not victims. We're victor. We are victors, all of us. We're here. We are here. We live. That is the absolute proof and really the only proof that we need. We didn't start out as victims. We started out as victors.
Mm-hmm.
We exist. Mm-hmm. That's a victory, you know?
Definitely.
That's true.
We are the highest form of creature on the earth. You know, we're human beings. That makes us a victor. You know, and I could go on, and we only have a half an hour, so I'm not going to do that. But you really seriously stop and think about it. It does take an inner rebellion to get past the common victim mentality of the day. You've got to get mad enough to be done with it. But I think the most important thing in regards to that is you have to survey your life. You have to investigate, become your own detective. Really think about how it can be true that you would even be a victim. Because you're really not. There's really no circumstances that I've found in the last 30-plus years that give me any evidence at all that the victim mentality is valid, true, correct, or even valuable.
Definitely. So in your method that you use, you know, it says that you specialize in this mental reorganization method known as extraordinary thinking. What is that mm-hmm. method? What are you teaching your students in extraordinary thinking?
I'm actually teaching them to take some ownership of their life that they maybe haven't. And there's one root to the tree, so to speak. You know, we can hack away at the root or we can hack away at the leaves. If we hack away at the leaves, they'll just grow back. We hack away at the root. It takes a lot longer for that to come back. And the one thing that I say to people is I have a belief. Now, granted, I am a preacher's daughter. I am a preacher's granddaughter. I'm a preacher's cousin, niece, you know, and on and on. There's lots of us. But there's one thing that my father believed. My father was a rebel. I can tell you that because we moved a lot, and I had to start new schools all the time because he was fired from many churches for his beliefs. In the long run, in the end, when he died at 93, he was the most highest held minister in the history of the ministry that he was involved with. So that says a lot, that it just took people a while to catch up. But my father believed, my grandfather also believed, that there are things that are in the Bible that are absolutely proof of certain value systems. And my father believed that when it says in the Bible that your father and you are one, that you are made in his image, in his likeness. My dad took that very seriously. And the very root of extraordinary thinking, that is not at all in ordinary thinking anywhere, is that that's true, that what created us is us, as us, for us, through us, having an experience of us and having an experience of itself, and we are having an experience of creation, and we are having an experience of ourself. That is the greatest victory possible in any plane in any plane, anywhere, any plane of thought, any plane of reality. That is the most important victory that we could ever have. And that's what we start with. So I think it's very important for people to question everything. And, you know, if they do get in fear, ask themselves, if, you know, what created me? Would what created me be in fear or faith? The difference between ordinary and extraordinary thinking is right there.
You know, a lot of people believe that their situation and their condition determines who they are. Or they look a lot, you know, or they look at the outward appearance, you know, how much money do I make determines who I am, where I live, or even my past. And a lot of people need to realize that, you know, it's God who determines who they are, you know, his word determines who they are. So how can we open people's eyes? Because I know once their eyes are open to that truth, they'll begin to change versus seeing the outward situation as letting that situation and condition them.
Yeah, I think the trickiest part about this for most people is how willing are you to give up your old way of life? Really and seriously, how willing are you to let it go? How willing are you to accept the magnificence that you are, the absolute, incredible, impeccable, undiluted beauty that you are? How willing are you to accept your unclaimed genius? How willing are you to accept the reality that you are equal to everyone else on this planet? No one's better than you. No one's less than you. How willing are you to be happy, truly happy, to the degree that you don't have bad days? You don't have sad days. You don't have stressful days. You don't have fearful days. How willing are you to let yourself have it as good as it can get? How willing are you? It's a pretty dynamic question, and it scares some people, but that's really what has to be answered, is how willing are you to truly have it be the best that it can get?
Nice. I think that's a great way that, you know, so many of us, we think we're ready and we talk about it, but we really aren't, you know. That simple question is how ready are you? How really ready and willing are you to change the way that you think and change your mindset, you know, which is what we're, you know, the beauty of Mind Shift Talk Radio is forcing people to dig a little bit deeper and come to terms with, you know, the truth of the matter. And getting away from always feeling like it's the victim and looking for someone else to blame. I love what you're sharing. I love your message. And I love the recovering from ordinary thinking.
That
is phenomenal to me, because I'm like, you know, that just really and truly, because if you're being ordinary, you know, a lot of ordinary people are just walking around living in misery and complacency. And have no idea, you know, and just feeding into a lot of the garbage that we're being fed. So I love that. And another thing that I picked up that you said was talking about the energy that your words produce, you know, just monitoring the words that are coming out your mouth, because they're filled with energy and you're feeding your soul with your words. So, you know, I just love that. You said, are you mad enough yet? And I'm like, you know, that's exactly what it takes to make a decision and turn your life around, is when you become mad enough. So that's phenomenal. So what made you, in your story, you know, what made you get, what was the turning point for you to say that you were going to, you know, you were going to remove your barriers and overcome your challenges and really push to the next level?
Well, I think I did hit a point of being, I don't know what you'd want to call it. Maybe we could call it righteous indignation or something to that effect. You know, I got married when I was very young, just out of high school. By 21, I was divorced. I got married again, And I was married for 10 years. It was a horrible marriage. Again, I was divorced. And my biggest question in life was, why can't I get this right? You know, why does this always get messed up on me? And I really did just get so angry because I looked around and I saw people who were having happy relationships. And I thought, but, you know, why not me? Well, of course, that's victim thinking. It took a while for me to figure out that I had to figure out why not me. Meaning, yeah, why not me? What am I doing? And then I had to become accountable. So I think it's important for everybody to know that, you know, with ordinary thinking, you're not taken to task. You don't have to be really accountable. With extraordinary thinking, you must be accountable, not because it's anybody's fault or you're being forced to be accountable or anything like that, but because you're worth it, because that's how valuable you are. And, you know, you need to get mad and then get accountable. And then you just need to let go of your old life of ordinary thinking and stop playing the victim role because, you know, nobody plays it well. Nobody's good at it.
You know, author Wayne Dyer, he said a quote that I like. He said, all blame is a waste of time. No matter how much fault you find with another and regardless of how much you blame him, it will not change you. And what I want to ask is, because we talked about the, you know, you had to recover from the ordinary thinking. How much does forgiveness have to do with creating this change also? Because a lot of people have that victim mentality and they're blaming others, you know, which is a waste of time. So how important is forgiveness in a situation?
It is extremely, extremely important, Billy. It is just so critical that you do that. And of course, most of all, you've got to forgive yourself. Because the truth is if you are living in ordinary thinking, the chances are you didn't know any better. You really didn't know any better. And if you had known better, you would have done better. But, you know, we have to forgive everyone because they're on the same trail. They probably don't know any better. You know, things get passed on through generations and generations, and ordinary thinking is one of them. But we have a worthiness that is so, it's almost unspeakable. We are so loved, so treasured, so adored, so admired that we are here. We exist. We're in being. We're alive. That's how loved we are. So we need to learn to forgive ourselves to the degree that we can love ourselves that way and love everyone else that way. You know, somebody was at my house recently, and we were talking about hate and things like that. And it really was stunning to me how far extraordinary thinking goes, that if you truly do understand extraordinary thinking, you're willing to live it, you would never hate another soul. You wouldn't do that to yourself. You just wouldn't do that. So that's once that level of forgiveness is achieved and you can move forward, you just don't do the things that you're going to require forgiveness for. You know, I know that might sound kind of funny, but you drop so many of the habits that there's very few things that ever come up, if any, that you really need to forgive yourself for and ask forgiveness for.
So what are some of the most common challenges that you come across, Lee, when you're doing your speaking and you're doing your coaching and so forth? What are some of the most common issues that you see people struggling with in terms of overcoming that victim mentality?
You know, it's interesting, Stacey. It always surprises me. The one that will hang people up the most, they'll say to me, but if I give up ordinary thinking, what would I be? Who would I be? I mean, what would my friends say? And it really makes you think, you know, we are so attached, almost like an addiction in our society, that we want to belong so badly that we'll complain just to fit in. You know, treat people badly just to fit in. Well, of course, I'm saying this hypothetically. I wouldn't do that anymore, but but this is how people think. They think, well, what do you mean? Like, really be happy? Like, really be happy all the time? But situations come up, and you know, of course, with ordinary thinking, that's how they think. And with extraordinary thinking, I can always say, but you can still choose to be happy no matter what's going on. No matter what, you can still choose to be happy. You can still choose to not be loving, but be love. Be the very essence of it, because that's what you actually are. So it takes them a while to get past that sort of a, it can seem like an obstacle or roadblock that, oh, you know, if I change and I really do become my true extraordinary self that I was created to be, then my friends that know me as the victim, they won't know what to do with me. Well, they're right. They won't know what to do with you. So probably it's important to say that, you know, some of the people that like the complaining you, that like the poor you, et cetera, they may drop out of your life. But you have to have faith that the really, truly extraordinary people who think you are magnificent without all that, they will come in. They'll find you.
Definitely. I think it's important for us to really define what it means to have ordinary thinking versus extraordinary thinking. You know, we've been having this conversation for the last 20 minutes or so forth, and we've been throwing these terms out. But for those individuals that may be listening to this show for the first time, or maybe those individuals that are totally new to personal development and transformation of the mind and renewal of your thinking and so forth, I'm really curious to hear this even from Billy and Io. How would you explain that to someone that's brand new listening to the show? You know, how would you define ordinary thinking versus extraordinary thinking to someone that's brand new to this?
Okay. Well, ordinary thinking is primarily very stressful. It tends to be very fear-based. There's always a sense of lack in ordinary thinking. Even if it's sort of under the covers, it's going to pop up at some point. So there's a sense of lack. Extraordinary thinking is the opposite. There's a sense of abundance with extraordinary thinking. There is no lack. There is no lack because you have the faith to know that you're so loved that you're going to always be taken care of, and so you are. There's no fear in extraordinary thinking. There's no need for it. So there's no poor anything. There's no poor me. There's no poor you. So, in essence, there's really no sadness, or at least I haven't really experienced it since I changed over, but there can be a compassion for people and a passion for people and things in the world, but a true sadness, it doesn't so much exist because you know that the tools are there to raise any situation up to the light, so to speak. So people say, well, I'll believe it when I see it, and I say, okay, well, guess what? The truth is more than likely, when you believe it, that's when you'll see it, not the other way.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to be here with us tonight. As we said, even at the beginning of the show, this is a very important topic, and it's one that definitely needs to be addressed and discussed. And, you know, truly, we commend you for the work that you're doing through extraordinary thinking, through your organization, through your speaking, through your books. I mean, you have so much on your plate, and I think you said it's been over 20 years that you've been doing this? As far as
actually, a little over 30. Yeah, a little over 30 now.
30 yeah. years. So we thank you for joining us tonight and truly blessing our listeners, and hopefully, you know, those who are listening have a different perspective, especially just one thing that stood out to me even when I was listening to you speak, and I was thinking about someone that may be new to ordinary thinking or extraordinary thinking, is when I was thinking back to what you do, not only are you coaching just, you know, regular people like me on a day-to-day basis, but you are a celebrity coach and, you know, mental coach and so forth. So it just, one thing that stood out to me was like, you know, wow, you come across all these issues. You're still dealing with people that are having to overcome various obstacles in terms of their thinking, but it's not just regular folks like me. You know, there's celebrities, there's people from all walks of life that are still dealing with the same struggles and the same challenges. And I hope someone can find some strength and some courage in that and be empowered by that to know that you're not the only person that's dealing with challenges. You know, the same individuals you see on TV that you rant and rave about every single week are having issues as well in terms of their thinking, in terms of how do I overcome. You know, we can look at individuals on the big screen and think, oh, they have it all together. You know, they're in Hollywood and they're excited, they're making all this money, they're doing all these great things, and still feel very empty at the end of the day. And that's more of what we want to discuss on the show tonight, is how do we go from looking at individuals on TV, and Dr. Io even made a comment about this, about what we see in society. How do we go from that point where we stop going by what we see on TV and judging our lives based on what's on TV and really looking at where we are and looking at who we are on the inside? You know, being happy with who we are, where we are right now, getting over that ordinary thinking and getting to the place where we can start to embrace extraordinary thinking and even grow beyond our circumstances. So to get out of that limited mindset and that limited way of thinking. And so, again, I thank you for just being here because, again, I know that you're passionate about what you're doing, and I hope our listeners were able to get that as well. And again, I hope that you encourage some individuals that are listening to really just step outside of that box in terms of the way that we think. So
I hope
thank
so
you
too.
For joining us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. How can they get more information from you?
The best thing to do is just to Google my name, and that way hundreds of pages, thousands of pages come up, but the ones that they'll probably be most interested in will be the top page or two. So the best way is to Google my name.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, Billy, Io, do you have anything else to leave before we move on?
I know, that's it.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. Great message.
Thank you.
All righty, awesome. So, again, that was Lee Trevathan. We will have her information for those of you that are fans on Facebook of Mindshift Talk Radio. We will have contact information available for our speakers. And if you are not a fan on Facebook, shame on you. We encourage you to go to Facebook.com/Mindshift Talk Radio and become a fan right now, even while you're listening to the show, right now. Okay, so that is it.
Woo-hoo, that's right. Here.
that's a serious call to action right now, not in 5 minutes.
Right, I'm the amen corner to that one.
Anyway, so we're going to keep the ball rolling because, you know, I'm, like, super geeked about the next speaker. This is, like, is this not our favorite Mindshift guest that's going to be joining us soon?
Yeah, I think we could give Chris, like, an honor Mindshift crew.
I think we can. I just want to make sure I'm not biased in my thinking. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you, Io, so you can go ahead and introduce our next speaker.
You know what, guys? We say that in jest, but Chris Gloss is phenomenal. He's someone that you can truly glean from. You know, when I first heard that word, gleam, I would never use that word because I'm like, who do I want to glean from or glean, whatever it is? But you know what? And then Chris Gloss came into my life, and he's so phenomenal. He always brings such a powerful message. You know, he's known as a possibilitarian because he says that if it's possible for me, it's possible for you. You know, right now he's a national ambassador for Kelly Springs. I mean, how phenomenal is that sponsorship there? And congratulations on becoming a certified practitioner and life coach. So, guys, Chris Gloss, so glad to have him. Welcome to the show, Chris Gloss. Are you there?
I'm here, and I'm fired up. I am so excited to be here. I'm so honored to be here with my Mindshift family, Stacy Emery, Billy Miller, of course, the wonderful and awesome Dr. Io, and all the fabulous, consistent listeners that listen to this show all the time. Man, I am just so humbled to be here and excited.
Yes. Woo-hoo to the listeners. Well, we are always excited to have you here. And thank you for joining us tonight because, you know, I think we pull on you quite a bit, but it's just because we are just so, as Isle said, I mean, we glean from you. We learn so much from you. We are totally inspired by you. And every time you're on the show, we get such great feedback from our listeners. There's so many great takeaways. We have a crazy amount of quotes after we're done with this show. I mean, all through the show, we're in the chat room, like, quote, 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 from Chris Gloss. So thank you again for joining us. And you've been listening to the show. What are your thoughts about what you've heard so far tonight?
Let me tell you, I'm absolutely fired up about what I've been hearing. A couple of things. Matter of fact, let me just share three things that I've heard that has me absolutely fired up about overcoming a victim mentality. The first thing she said is that you got to be mad enough to be done with it. And I love that because I believe that because we must get to that place where we're just sick and tired of just moping around, having a woe's me attitude, and the world is against me, the man is against me, my boss is against me, this is never going to change, I'm just going to stay in this pity party and nobody's coming down to watch TV with me in my pity party. She said you got to get mad enough that you got to get an attitude about it. You got to get mad at where you are. You got to get sick and tired of being lonely, upset, a joyless life, a life without happiness. You got to make a decision. I know whatever happened to somebody was painful, and I know you may need help to get out of that situation. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult, and it pulls emotionally at you, and it's draining. Yes, all of that. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to get mad enough to walk away from that place. You can't pitch a tent and stay there. Why? Because no one's going to join you there. You can't live your life as a volunteer victim. You can't. You're a volunteer victim. You have to leave that place of sorrow, that place of sadness, that place of defeat, and it's really a prison cell that was created with the bars of fear that has you in there. Because you're afraid to get hurt again. You're afraid if you step back out there, something else is going to happen worse. I know you may need help to get out of that position, but let me tell you, you got to get out of that position. Because here's the problem. Most people won't even participate in their own rescue. You know where you are, that you must leave that place, and you just don't have that courage to get out of there. So you got to get mad. Tonight is the night, if you're listening or if you're listening and you know a friend going through this process, you need to get them this recording because that victim mentality is creating walls of containment around you. And as long as you construct walls of limitations around you, guess what? No one can get in to hurt you again. That's true. No one can get in to hurt you, but at the same time, no one can get in to help you. And on the same time, it's just like your hand. If you're holding some Skittles in your hand, I can't take the hand out. If you got it in a tight fist, yeah, I can't take it from you. They're yours. But at the same time, you can't give them away. And your breakthrough is going to come in what you're able to give because you're going to have to give some things up. In this wall of containment that you constructed and built around yourself, you're going to have to get rid of some things. You got to get rid of the guilt, the shame, this oppression and depression. You got to get rid of it, but you can't as long as you have these bars around you. Tonight is the night you just got to get mad enough to say, you know what, the blank with this, the hell with this, I'm getting out of this. You know what, and sometimes what's keeping you in this prison, it's not a thing, it could be a person. You're just going to have to walk away. You're going to have to do something just to allow some space in your life. That's an important word. Write that word down, some space. Sometimes it's maybe just leaving something or leaving a situation. You just need to create enough space to where you can get still and allow some information to come on the inside of you that can give you some new thoughts and new ideas to get out of your situation. See, one of the things that we do know about stress is this. When you're stressed out, you make poor decisions when you're stressed. When you're stressed out, you make decisions that you're going to have to make again. Because when you're in stress, you're just looking for the quickest path to get some relief. Although you know it's not the best path, you're going to make that decision. And what's going to happen, you got to make that decision again, so it's going to lead you down that road again. So you need enough space just to get enough space to get out of this place of stress, bring your tension down to a point when you can make a better decision of quality. Because when you get space or you get still, you could allow God to come on the inside of you and give you ideas that you had no clue that existed. When you're stressed out, you see yourself having limited resources. But when you lower that tension, you see the abundance of resources that's available for you. So you got to be able to create some space. The next thing she said, the second thing was, you got to get mad, but then you got to get accountable. Now, check that. See, most people hate this word accountability. It's almost a cuss word. It's like dropping the F-bomb. It's the A-bomb. People don't want to hear accountable. You mean to tell me I got somebody's going to be able to call me and say, come on, you got to get out of that house. You got to open up some curtains. You got to let some sunshine in. We got to throw away those black clothes and get you some beautiful red, some bright yellow, some purple, some orange. We got to change your wardrobe. You're walking around looking too dark. You got to do something about your disposition. You got to check your attitude. You got to get a checkup from the neck up. You got to do something about how you speak to people. You got to get somebody that can hold you accountable, because you can't see the picture when you're standing in the frame of life. You can't see yourself. You can't see where you're bumping in and going around the same circle again. You need somebody outside the picture frame to help you navigate through this thing we call life and through this thing called relationships, this thing called earning income, whatever it is, it's your thing. But you got to get out of it, but you got to get mad, but then you got to get accountable. So these are action steps that she gave, which were beautiful. Now, here's the last thing I just want to give a take on. You asked a question about ordinary thinking and extraordinary thinking. What's the difference? Here's my take on it. I see it as a difference between eyesight and mindsight. I see ordinary thinking as eyesight, extraordinary thinking as mindsight. See, ordinary thinking, when you look at things just with your eyesight, what you can see, judging things based on appearance only, looking at things as they are. That's ordinary thinking. Why? Everybody does that naturally. Just look at it, not looking beyond where we are. We just look at it, and then we, through worry and fear, we create end results of things that never even happened yet. We worry about things that haven't even happened yet because of eyesight, because we're only paying attention to what we see. We limit ourselves. We place walls of containment around us, and we camp out there, and we judge our lives based on what we can see. Extraordinary thinking is mindsight. Mindsight. It's the ability to see the invisible. It's using your face to see a way out, recognizing that the light at the end of the tunnel is not a train, but it's a light. It's a bright light to a bright future. It's understanding what that word hope means, H-O-P-E. The definition of that word hope that I love the most is that it's the ability to foresee change in the future. See, when you have mindsight, the doctor could tell you you have cancer, and you can say, wow, that's one report, but I have this ability to foresee change in the future. I don't see myself stricken to the bed. I see myself in time walking healed, whole, delivered, set free, and set free from that bondage, that sickness, and that disease. When you have that hope, that ability to foresee change in the future, no matter where you are, whether you just lost your house or your car, you see yourself living in your dream home, and you see yourself driving in the car that you always wanted to drive. You see yourself with happy, productive relationships because of hope, this ability to foresee change in the future. Because you're operating out of you're not operating out of your eyesight, you're operating out of your mindsight. You're using your imagination to your advantage. See, that law of imagination is so powerful. See, extraordinary thinkers use their mindsight. They don't have to worry about what things look like right now because those things are subject to change. We're paying attention to something different. We're looking at something ordinary people can't see. They can't see it. People can't see your vision. People don't understand why the three of you continue to show up every Monday for Mindshift Talk Radio. Why do you three crazy people keep showing up with the same energy, same great guests every week, when people don't even commit to coming, but you're always here ready with some great information, great guests, and giving it your all? Why? Because you're crazy, because you see something other people can't see, because you're extraordinary thinkers and you have removed the boundaries and tore down the walls of containment so that you can see something else. Now, the last thing is courage. It's going to take courage. See, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. See, it's not just dismissing fear. No, it's saying, you know what, fear may be there, but my joy is more important than that fear. Yeah, this person hurt me, but my peace and my family is more important than that hurt. Yeah, that was wrong, but guess what? My future life, my expected end, the purpose in my life is more important than me fearing not stepping out doing something that's going to yield a great harvest in my life where I have healing, wholeness, peace, prosperity. Everything that I ever wanted in my life is already available to me, and it's available to me right now if I have this courage to look fear in the face and say no more. And say no more. That's the position. That's what we have available to us right now. Right now. And case in point, thinking about my mother, you're talking about someone that has overcome a victim mindset. If anybody had a right to show up and say, hey, I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I need resources from everybody else. I need people to feel sorry for me. I need people to have a parade for me because I'm a victim. If anybody had a right in my life to be able to say that, it would be her. She has a right to say it. So if there's anything I could walk away from just by looking at her life, Janet Gloss being over a 12-year cancer conqueror, Janet Gloss who's knocked out different associated diseases in her body that comes along with beating and battling cancer, how she's kicked them all to the curb 2 years ago in a hospital about to die. I walk into the hospital room. She didn't even recognize me. Wow. Let me tell you something. Overcoming a victim mindset, she had a right to claim it and have it, but guess what she did? She denied it. See, when UPS shows up at your house with a package, you got to sign for it. Janet Gloss refused to sign for that victim mentality package. She said, no, that, you got to take that somewhere else. That don't belong here. Because you know what? There's someone that's deep on the inside of her that whispered to her one day that you're more than a conqueror, Janet. You're more than a conqueror. I wouldn't give you anything that you could not handle. And just out of believing that, faith as a side of a mustard, size of a mustard seed, holding on to I'm more than a conqueror, and that this would not come in my life if I couldn't beat it. Still here today. Still battling, still winning. You know what I'm saying? She had the opportunity to carry the banner of a victim, but refused it, denied it. Why? Because she had that courage to say, you know what's more important than me raising that victim banner? Seeing my family. Seeing me continue to do things I want to do in this life. I'm not giving up this life to that. And that's powerful. So how do we overcome this? How do we individually, what can we take from Janet Gloss? What can we take from our awesome speaker that came on right before me? What can we walk away with from what we learned on Mind Shift Talk Radio? What can we really do to take our lives to the next level? And this is the last thing I promise I want to share. I know my Mind Shift family like, hey, is this a benediction yet? No, not yet, not yet, not yet. All right. Here's the question I want to ask. Here's the question I want to ask. What would you do, and this is powerful, and you want to write this question down because for many of you, this is going to help you. This is really going to help. I believe it's going to help you because it helped me. It's going to put some things in perspective for you. It's going to show you how hungry you are for results. It's going to show you where you really are because you can always tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Not the fruit it talks about, not the fruit that it claims. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. So right now, tonight, you're going to be able to take off a mask, you're going to be able to look at yourself and find out if you're really working towards what you say you're working towards to overcome a victim mentality and get the results in your life. Here's the question. What would you do if your doctor walked in the room and said, Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, you have cancer? What would you do? See, it's an interesting question because most of us on this line, we would go ahead and agree and said, you know what, I would pray, I would read, I would work out, I would get the best information possible, I'll take immediate decisive action, there's some food I would stop eating, there's some people I would stop hanging around, there's some things I would not allow in my life, no negativity, no negative TV, all those things I would get rid of to beat this thing because I have a commitment to live. So let me ask you a question then. If you're willing to do all those things to beat that dis-ease in your body, let's change it. What are you going to be willing to do if that disease instead of cancer was financial challenges? Would you still be willing to separate yourself from other people, get all the books you can, work out, do all those same things? And have you been doing that with your goals? Have you pursued your goals with the same intensity as if it was something that would take you off this planet if you failed to move forward and do it? How intense are you about it? Because you'll be intense if it was a disease in your body because you don't want to leave here because you know you can beat it. You can beat whatever it is that's dealing with you. If it was abuse in your background, if it was disappointment, if it's just being discouraged, if it's that, it's a weight thing, whatever it is, a financial thing, whatever it is that you've been dealing with, you can get out of it if you're willing to put the work in as if someone told you you had something on your body that would take you away. Take that same action, those same activities you would do, apply it to that, and then watch you walk out of it on your own. But you got to be ready. You got to get mad at where you are. You got to get mad. You got to get angry. You got to be hungry. You got to do it. See, it takes work. Most people quit working when they get a job. You can't do that. You can't do that. It takes work, it takes effort, and it takes energy to do it. So that's my take on it. So, I.O., Billy, Stacy, did that help?
Oh, yes, bro. That's fire.
Yeah, that was fire. Yep. But wow, so many good points there. You had so many points, Chris. My pen was like, I can't write fast enough.
What did I say? Quote,
wow.
After quote after quote after quote. I said it. That was awesome.
A couple key things for me that I really, really liked that you said was, you know, about getting quiet and creating a space, because, you know, I found for myself that's really major, because you can sometimes you don't realize that you're letting other people's expectations, other people's hopes and dreams, some, you know, old, you don't even realize how you ended up with that goal, that it wasn't even your own goal to begin with, and you don't realize that until you get quiet and you get some space. So I love that, and how you said when you stress out, you make poor decisions. And I just want to add to that, too, when you're stressed out, you get sick. So a lot of times that I'm working with people who they can't figure out why they're always sick, and we can go straight to their mind, to their mindset and what's going on in their life, and you'll continuously be sick. So I just thought that was phenomenal. So many things. So I'm going to let somebody else take it away, because I can keep going with my points that I'm
not. Let me get in.
Hey, one thing with that stillness, my favorite quote that I got to share since we're talking about stillness is from a Sufi writer. He said, stillness is the language that God speaks, and everything else is a bad translation. In that place of stillness is when we hear from what's on the inside that's greater than anything else in this world. When we hear from God, when we can get still, because that's the language he speaks, when we can get still, slow all this stuff down, worrying about everything else, and get present with the moment, practicing in his presence, is when, you know, when we get our answers. When we get so busy, we get away from that. So I love that. That stillness is the language that God speaks, and everything else is a bad translation. So I just had to share that, because every time I hear that word, it fires me up.
Yeah, I want to read this quote by Asher Tyson.
It says victims can't see a $1 million idea if you pour it on them because they are consumed with explaining their helplessness. And you were talking about worry, and that's what really consumes their mind, because worry is a negative form of meditation. Isn't what you were referring to when you were talking about that mind sight, is that the same thing as the opposite of worrying, meditating in the right way, using your imagination?
Yeah, I mean, but you look at it, worrying is a principle. It's a law almost, you know, because it's meditating on something, right? But when you meditate, I mean, because you're going to produce the result of whatever you're going to spend your time meditating on. If you meditate on things that are filled with fear and things that are negative, that's just what you're going to have. But if you spend your time meditating on those things like scripture, my favorite book, and for me, the greatest motivational book ever written for me is the Bible. And when it talks about think on these things, think on the things that are lovely. Think on the things that are of good report. Think on the things that are honorable. Like you think on those things, you're not going to produce the fear. You're going to have a mindset that of that mindset where there's always a way. There's always hope. There's an ability to foresee change in the future, right, that you have a part in this, that you have this canvas that you can create what you really want. I mean, it's there for you. He's for you. He has your back. All those possibilities. But if you worry, if you meditate and think on the things that are not on that list, it's going to produce that result. I mean, so it's like whatever you choose to meditate on, it's your choice, right? Meditate on this day and night, and that's what you're going to have. So it's changing what you're thinking, changing what you're reading. What are you looking at, right? What are you reading? What are you putting before your eyes? Whatever you're putting before your eyes, you have it in your life. So stop putting what you don't want and start putting what you do want. Just do the do's, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Chris, you know, we're always excited to have you on the show because, again, we talked about how inspiring and motivating you are. And people may take that lightly, but one reason I think you're so powerful is not only your transparency but your boldness. I mean, you came on here tonight and you basically got up in our faces. You don't care if you step on toes. You're basically saying this is what it is and we need to overcome this. And I love it. I think that's when I get so fired up, really. When I hear you speak, not only the passion, but you are just like you have the authority on everything you discuss when you come on this show. And for anyone listening, if they have never heard of Chris Goff before tonight, I know they're like, wow, who is this dude? I mean, it was just – we talked about it at the beginning with the introduction. We talked about how powerful you are. But truly, it is your boldness. It is your confidence. It is your courage. And for you to sit here tonight and basically tell all of us that it's time to get off that train or that horse or that pity party, get out of that, and really change the way we think, I mean, that's what got us fired up. You look in the chat room right now, and everyone is commenting on, I mean, as soon as you started, like I think in the first 2 minutes, it was like chat of what you were saying. People are just fired up because you just brought it right out the gate. You were just on it. And I thank you so much. Every time you come to the show, you bring that same intensity. You bring that same passion. You bring that same confidence every time you come on Mindshift. So I thank you for joining us tonight. I thank you for the message that you shared. And really, you know, you and I were just talking about the stillness, and I love that we're talking about the mindset and so forth, and not the eyesight. The eyesight, that stood out to me the most. But it just reminds us that it's never too late to change the way we think. And you were talking about, we kind of went that way as far as talking about health and how these things can show up in our body. And you guys show that tonight. You show that with your message, Chris. And I really want to talk more about this, and I know we're out of time now, so we're not going to be able to keep going with it. But, again, I just want to say thank you and encourage our listeners that it's not too late. You heard what was said tonight by both listeners. We encourage you to take everything that you heard tonight, listen to the replay, share the replay, and just continue to be hungry. Be hungry for more. Be hungry to grow. Be hungry for that new existence, that stronger existence. So that's really it. But, again, thank you all for listening. ChrisGloss.com. Also, you can find him on Facebook at Chris Gloss as well. Just Google the name Chris Gloss. He's all over the web. And that is pretty much it for tonight. We're out of time. But, again, thank you all for listening. Make sure that you join us next week, same time, same place, Mindshift Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys be blessed, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.